So again, Steve, we can maybe talk a little bit about the issue of first-line therapy in a patient who you've determined to start first-line therapy on. Can you talk about the various options, the clinical research data behind them, including the phase 3 INNOVATE trial?
So this is a very young individual, and I think when you see somebody like this, 51 years old, what you got to do is really plan for the long haul here. And part of that is not only how do you get disease down in, you know, the most toxic-free manner, but you also have to make sure that what therapies you're offering aren't going to cause, you know, other problems, whether it be immunodeficiency, you know, neuropathy, or secondary malignancies. And I think in addressing the latter, the fact that, you know, Thanos and his colleagues avoided alkylators was right on the money. You know, we do see with alkylator drugs, secondary malignancies, we do see MDS. Even though these are relatively uncommon complications, again, we're looking at the long haul. And so proteasome inhibitors have offered really a way forward. We are concerned about the consequences of neuropathy, so we're very careful. We tend to offer weekly as opposed to biweekly therapy with bortezomib. We also have other proteasome inhibitors like carfilzomib and ixazomib that are making their way. So I think the use of a proteasome inhibitor would be very appropriate. But the other way forward in a patient like this is also looking at BTK inhibitors. And we know from both the monotherapy studies with ibrutinib as well as the data generated in the INNOVATE study that ibrutinib either alone or with rituximab could be considered for such a patient. And here's where the art of knowing what the underlying genomics are could help us. We know from the data that Thanos and our colleagues published in the New England Journal that those individuals that are MYD88 wild type only, not having a CXCR4 mutation, actually do extremely well. They have the good deep responses, the VGPRs. When they have the CXCR4 mutation, things get a little bit more complicated. You don't get those deep responses, and you also see early progression of these individuals. Adding rituximab is good because you also get over the delay in response that typically occurs with ibrutinib alone in CXCR4 mutated patients. So this would be an individual that one could consider either proteasome-based therapy or ibrutinib based therapy, and, you know, around the addition of rituximab, I'd want to know about the MYD88 and CXCR4 mutation status.
What are the situations, Steve, where you use upfront ibrutinib or ibrutinib rituximab, and how do you decide whether or not to add rituximab?
Well, in our case, knowing the underlying genomics is fundamental. What helps a lot is the ability to get those genomics done and getting them done correctly. Across the board, I think, you know, most institutions can do MYD88 testing. CXCR4 mutations are a little bit trickier to get done, although, you know, there are now a number of vendors that offer this type of testing. So I think if you're armed with that knowledge, you can make a decision in terms of offering therapy to the patient. If they're MYD88 mutated, I think using ibrutinib makes sense. If they have the added CXCR4 mutation, then we would consider adding rituximab to that particular patient's care.